Welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa. I'm your host. And in today's episode, I'm speaking with hormone and gut health expert, Dr. Rosemary Rutecki. Rosemary and I spoke about the gut microbiome, her 21-day reset, and how to stop feeling bloated. If you like the show, please subscribe and give us a rating or share the episode with someone who might find it helpful. Thank you so much. And as always, if you want help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we are your go-to coaches. Just hit the contact link in the show notes. Now onto my conversation with Rosemary. Dr. Rosemary Rutecki, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lisa. I'm so excited to be here with you today.
Yeah, I am excited to have you on. Nothing like having an actual expert in regards to gut health and hormone health on, something that affects all of us. So, yes, what is the main thing you're excited to share with our listeners today?
So I'm excited to share the connection between gut and everything in your health, right? Because sometimes we are focusing in one thing, right? Either if we want to lose weight or fixing our hormones. And then we think that those things are by itself, but actually our gut and our system is connected. So when we help our gut, we help all of our systems.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's so nice to really know that there is a connection between everything, that it's a whole holistic approach, really. And Rosemary, tell us how you got to where you are today, what you do today, who you are today.
Well, I'm going to make the long story short. So, about 11 years ago, my daughter was very scared to talk. And then we thought that she was shy. And then that lasted for a long time. And I was like, this is not normal that a kid will be so scared to talk to even other kids. And that's when I started researching. And then I found that she has something that's called selective mutism. And then when I read about it, I was like, oh my God, because a lot of these kids, they end up as adults. Not speaking at all, like at home, very scared, a lot of anxiety. And in our home, we're like very, happy and have people over. So it was not coming from the home. And so I wanted to tackle it. And then, thank God in a month, I got her talking and I figured out how to fix it. But then I was like, okay, so, but what is the root cause? That's when I started with why she got to that place, right? What caused that? And that's how I discovered functional medicine, looking for root causes. And then I learned a lot about the gut health and then how your gut microbiome controls your emotions. And if you don't have enough of the good bacteria, you might feel more sad, more depressed, more anxious. And kids that have selective mutism usually have a lot of anxiety. So I'm thinking, well, maybe it was related because she didn't have enough of the good flora. And then when I passed her my flora and I had, very bad gut. I had a lot of gut issues, but I didn't know back then, right? I wasn't connecting the dots. So us as moms, when we get pregnant, we have to ensure that we are like super ready, like, like a tune-up, like a new car, right? You detox, you have good gut health because you pretty much give your kid your environment. So she started with my gut flora, and my gut flora was not good at the time. So working on her gut health, nutrition, all those things, it also helps, right? To make you feel more calm because we made about 80 to 90% of our neurotransmitters, like the happy ones that keep us calm, serotonin, dopamine, norepinephrine, in our gut. So for me, that was a huge discovery. And then that was kind of like a rabbit hole. Then I started learning more about functional medicine. I'm like, well, I need this for myself too, because I was having tons of issues too after I had my kids. Like I was tired, I was fatigued, I was bloated, I was losing my hair. I was just not myself. And I was 34. So that was like about 11 years ago. So I was young and feeling really old. And then when I went to the doctors, they're like, well, you're just aging. And I'm like, no, I can't. This is not be aging. And that's how I ventured more into functional medicine. I got someone who helped me. And at the beginning, I just wanted that knowledge to help me and my family. And then I started helping other people. And now that's what I do. And I love it. I love to get people healthy again, without crazy interventions, right? Or especially when people come, I went to so many doctors and they couldn't figure it out. And then those are my type of people, right? The ones that they feel bad, but they don't have a main issue, right? They're healthy, you know. They're kind of they say, doctor said you're healthy, but you don't feel healthy, meaning you don't have cancer, you don't have a tumor, you don't have like something that you're dying, right? So usually traditional medicine cannot find that, and that's what functional medicine does. We are like there to, it's preventative, right? And it's finding, it's making you feel good, healthy, restart your body to do what it's supposed to do. So that's pretty much the story.
That's a great way to put it, with the restarting the body to do what it's supposed to do. And yeah, I'm really especially looking forward to talking about the gut microbiome, because I think it's such a unexplored area, and I think we're only just starting to understand it a little bit better. So I'm all about giving people, practical tips, and you just mentioned a few things in terms of like how important it is to have a healthy gut microbiome for our mental well-being, even not just in order to, poo regularly or whatever. That's probably one of the least important reasons. But why don't you tell us some of the like foundational cornerstones of like, if you had to name, I don't know, 5 to 10 things that are important for a healthy gut microbiome?
So for a healthy gut microbiome, we have to ensure that we're eating what the gut microbiome needs. So in society, and before I didn't know this information, you eat because you're hungry and you eat whatever. Right? It's like you're not paying attention how much fiber you're eating, how much protein you're eating, right? How many healthy fats you're eating. You're not looking at your macronutrients. You're just eating, right? And then your gut microbiome, it's a composition of a lot of bacteria, viruses. You know, we have a whole ecosystem down there that they need specific nutrients in order to thrive. Otherwise, they die. Right. So when you understand, like, oh, I'm not eating just for pleasure. I'm eating because I need to feed an ecosystem that lives inside of me that controls my immune system. And if I don't eat for them, I am going to feel very sick. And that is like the biggest thing that we have to learn in terms of nutrition and how to feed our gut so that we can feel good. A lot of people have issues with obesity because they are not eating what they're supposed to be eating to feed a good bacteria. For example, it's called Akkermansia. A lot of people don't have enough Akkermansia. And then when you don't have enough of it, then you can have issues with insulin, with gaining weight, and things like that. So what I explain my clients that I work with, and you know, they have children and older family, if you feed your gut microbiome, your cravings are going to go away. Right? Because your microbiome sends signals to your brain saying, well, I am hungry. And that's because it doesn't have the nutrients to survive. So that creates a cascade of people feeling, oh, I'm hungry, I'm hungry. And they eat more processed foods, and then they gain a lot of weight and they can't control. But when you start feeding your gut microbiome with the right amount of nutrients, the cravings are going to go away. And it's not bad if you want to have like something sweet or maybe something that is processed once in a while, right? It's like sometimes we have to find balance in life. But the problem is when we eat a lot of processed foods all the time, and our brain is constantly sending us signal, eat more, I'm hungry, eat more, I'm hungry, because the gut is hungry, it's starving. So a gut that starves, it's a gut that sends signals to eat more. So that's the biggest lesson, right? And then what foods we need to eat. So our gut loves fermented foods. That's something that I learned. And there's so much research about how fermented foods increase your gut microbiome diversity. So your gut microbiome diversity, it's your friendly bacteria that lives in there that we have to keep it happy. So if they're happy, you are going to be happy. So fermented foods help with that. It also helps decrease, in this study that they did, about 19 inflammatory markers. So it also helps decrease inflammation. Fermented foods also help you. Of course, if you're feeding your gut, you're going to be slender, happier, right? Boost your immune system, can help prevent certain type of cancers when you have a robust immune system. And overall, you're going to get sick less because you're improving your gut microbiome. Fiber is also very important. And then those are your healthy carbs, fruits, vegetables. Root vegetables have a lot of great fiber. So I love green bananas, green plantains. These are called prebiotics because they help create more probiotics in your gut, and they're great carbohydrates. to eat. So a lot of people are scared of eating carbs and fruit. I have a lot of my ladies that they don't eat. And I'm like, well, I stop eating fruit. And I'm like, and then they start eating fruit with me. I'm like, no, you need at least minimum 25 grams of fiber, minimum per day. And sometimes I even make them track just so they can see how much they're eating. Right. There's like this perception of, oh, tracking is bad. That's going to affect your mental state. And I'm like, no, you have to look at it as a tool because then you know how much you're eating. Right. If I don't track, now I don't track, but I track for a while because I was eating very little protein and I was eating very little fiber. Right. But then when you start understanding what your body needs, you're like, oh, I need more fiber. So now I know how much fruit and vegetable I need through to eat through the day. I know how much protein I need through the day just to keep me in a healthy weight and cover all those areas. So if we want to have a healthy gut, we need to eat fermented foods. We need to eat a lot of fiber, and we can't forget about protein and healthy fats because they're important too. Protein also helps create good neurotransmitters in the brain, muscle, bone health, right? It's all connected. So yeah, we just have to feed the gut with good stuff.
That's awesome. And I mean, it really often comes down to the basics. I think most people don't need probiotic supplements, or that we try to create a healthy gut microbiome with supplements, but it's not helpful if you don't have the flora in there or the bacteria, the strains in there. If you just randomly supplement with a probiotic where you don't know, like, is this even the strain of probiotics that I need or not? Or,
Exactly.
and if you then don't follow it up with feeding those probiotic bacteria with the prebiotics, they're not going to survive in there for very long. But yeah, and on the point of fermented foods, I mean, most people will probably know, okay, something like yogurt, kimchi, sauerkraut. Are there any other sources that you recommend? And also, like, how much roughly would you recommend per day? What's enough?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I have usually, if the person can tolerate dairy, so yogurt is great, kefir is really good, and I also do sauerkraut and kimchi, and there's tons of other fermented things. People ferment even fruit, onions, garlic, other type of vegetables, but I stay, with the basic stuff, sauerkraut, kimchi, and then yogurt and kefir. Those are usually the main ones that I use, and they're just great with the gut microbiome. What was the other question that you asked me?
In terms of quantity, if you have a
Oh, the quantities.
recommendation.
So for quantities, I tell people to start with a tablespoon if they have never eaten fermented foods because it can create some bloating, especially when you haven't eaten it before, because it's like all of a sudden you get all this boost of probiotics. And then you might feel a little like, oh, this is kind of like uncomfortable. So start slow and then you build up. Sometimes I eat now like half a cup or a cup of kimchi or sauerkraut the days that I'm like, low on time and I want to have veggies with my meals. And then I usually have a protein, a lot of sauerkraut, and then carbohydrate, which could be a fruit, right? Sometimes I tell people you don't have to complicate your life too much in order to prepare your meals, as long as you're covering the bases. And if you, especially moms that are busy or they're working or entrepreneurs, sometimes you don't have that much time. And I tell them my meals are very simple. I have a lean protein. If I can make potatoes or something else or another carb or roast, whatever, I might grow a banana or an apple, and then there you go. And then fermented foods and done, right? Just make it work to be easy for you. It doesn't have to be a fancy, complicated meal, especially if people eat out or they travel. I tell them, go to a grocery store, get stuff in the hotel, like buy fruit, you get your fermented, you got some yogurt, some things that you can have in the refrigerator, some turkey deli, maybe some beef sticks, things like that. And then when you go out to eat, then you have more protein, and then focus on the protein and veggies and healthy fats, and then you'll be fine. You're feeding your gut, and that's what you want to do. And then sometimes for people, when they want to heal their gut and they're having issues with food, they might be have triggers with gluten. Like gluten is a big trigger for people that have gut issues, autoimmune issues, and that's something that I tell people to usually avoid if they have a history of autoimmune in their family, or they have an autoimmune issue, or inflammation, or a lot of gut health issues. And that usually helps a lot when people stop eating gluten. And it's not gluten that is bad, it's just the way that it's processed here in the States, right? It's a lot of glyphosate, a lot of chemicals, and then it's a bleach. So it's an anti-nutrient pretty much that what we're eating that's causing a lot of inflammation. So that's another point that I want to cover. And then if you do all those things and you don't get better, right? Let's say that you're eating super clean, super healthy, you're eating your fermented foods and you're still struggling, then you have to we look deeper, right? What's the root cause? Well, maybe you have an overgrowth of bacteria that sometimes I have to be work with either medications or herbs. I use usually like herbs to lower the amount of overgrowth or yeast that the person might have. It could be parasite. Parasite cause a lot of skin issues, autoimmune disorders, making you feel also moody, not helping you to sleep, anxiety, right? All those things. And then we covered that, right? We work and then a lot of people that have gut issues, they usually have all of that. And if you have an antibiotic in your life, you probably have an overgrowth of bacteria and yeast, because an antibiotic, what it's going to do is going to kill the bad, what we're targeting, right? But unfortunately, also kills your good flora. And then what happened is we have yeast candida as part of our environment in the gut. It's part of the ecosystem. And then what happened is when you kill all the good ones, then she becomes the queen of the region. That's what I tell people. And then she grows and she overtakes the kingdom of your gut. And when she overtakes the kingdom of your gut, then that causes a lot of issues also with obesity, with hormones, with the way you feel, with feeling tired, with feeling fatigue, eczema, skin issues, right? And that's because it's a yeast problem. And I would say that a lot of people have yeast issues. If you're having, for example, females, we get oral contraceptives that increases in our body, alcohol, other medications and antibiotics, stress, right? So who doesn't have any of those?
That's a
Right? That's why I
very
tell people,
good
if you have a gut, you need a gut reboot, right?
point.
Because it's a we all have it, and it just makes such a big difference when your gut is better. And we're not gonna have a sterile gut, right? People think like, well, we gotta kill it all. No, we just have to kill the overgrowth, right? Turn down the overgrowth and increase your friendly bacteria so they can all live together happy in their ecosystem, right? So we always want to shoot for the good friendly bacteria, because they should be the one ruling the kingdom of the gut and keeping the other ones kind of like a base, kind of like a society, right? We want to have a lot of good people and then less of the bad ones. So the good ones are the ones like ruling and keeping everybody happy and all of that, and keeping the bad ones in control. So that's what we had to
I like the metaphor. And yeah, I mean, to your point of sterile, I think on the contrary, like sometimes if we are in an environment that's too sterile, like nowadays or when I was growing up, it was kind of like the whole thing of like everything had to be clean, kids don't play in the mud, no animals in the house and all of that. And by now we know it's actually really good to be exposed to these kind of
Exactly.
things, to have a household with animals in it, because it helps us develop a stronger immune system and have a more diverse gut microbiome. That doesn't mean we should go out and eat mud, but like I think there's such a thing as being over sterile. And you also mentioned having like quote unquote detox or a reset. And I know that in your program you do a 21-day reset. Maybe you can tell us a little bit like what the steps are of that and what that entails.
Yeah, thank you for asking. So with the reset, we focus on food as medicine. That's the first step. So when I work with my one-on-one client, that's where everybody starts, right? Because in that time, we're ordering lab work, we're ordering stuff to target, right, the issues that we're working with. But at the beginning, I tell them, well, before we get results and get all the stuff, let's start working on the foundational work. And I noticed with all the people that I have worked with that those first 21 days, a lot of them get so good. Like they are like they, their energy improves, their gut improves, they lose weight, right? Because we're targeting inflammation. And a lot of people that I work with, I'm not like a trainer that I, work with people to lose weight. My target is more, root cause approach, rebalancing the body. And then what happens is when you give the body what it needs, all that inflammation goes away and they can finally start losing weight, right? Because they were holding a lot of weight because they were very inflamed, eating the wrong foods and not knowing what their body needs. So that's the approach at the beginning. Very minimal supplements that I recommend in that 21-day reset because I want it to be accessible for anyone to do. So if they want to add them, they're like, optional. But we're focusing mostly in food and lifestyle and things like, how to even activate your gut microbiome so you digest the foods better. So I teach that. And then that's pretty much in 3 weeks, you can be a new person. For some people, they feel 20% better. Some people feel 50, some people feel 99% better, but it's a start, right? If you feel bad and you get to feel better with a simple approach, that's a win. And then like, okay, I already did this. What's the next step? So that's what I want to help people to build into getting into, moving into different steps. But that first part, it's vital and it give great results. And I wanted to make it a bit affordable too, because I know, a lot of people might not have the money to go to a functional medicine doctor because it's expensive. Usually, some doctors can charge between $500 to $1,000 per encounter, and not everybody have that. And I'm like, well, how can I create something that people can have access to? Like, they're talking to me, but more, because it's a lot of modules. So it's like they have over hours of training. So it's like talking to me like for two, three times, right? And then know exactly what to do. So that's pretty much what they're going to be doing in the 21 day, just resetting, improving their health. And if they like that approach, I tell at the end of the 21 days, you can continue, right? And the benefits will ramp up. And I'm sure that's the work that you do too, right? Because people, when they come to us, they're like, oh, in 3 weeks, I'm going to be cured. And then I'm going to go back to what I was doing. No, right? This is a lifestyle. This is something that we have to get into, right? Like, if you're working out, you're not going to work out for 3 weeks and have an amazing body in 3 weeks and then going back couch potato.
No,
No.
absolutely. I love how you're framing that as like a baseline, and then I'm sure after the 21 days, as you said, either they continue just in the same way or, slowly maybe adding one food at a time to see like, okay, how do I feel with this sourdough bread? Oh, actually it's fine. Okay, I can keep that in my diet.
Exactly.
How do I feel with,
Exactly.
this yogurt? Oh, actually it's fine.
Yeah.
And then
Yeah.
maybe having on the weekend a little bit of sugar. Oh no, I didn't feel so good after this. Maybe I'm gonna really
Exactly.
keep that minimal. So I like that. And I think you mentioned also energy levels overall, and that's something I want to talk about a bit more, because in some of the content that I saw on your social media, you spoke about that 2 or 3 p.m. afternoon crash that we all know very well, or where we're even feeling dizzy in the afternoon, where we're not feeling very motivated to do our work and so on. What are some strategies to avoid or to combat that sort of afternoon crash that we all have experienced before?
Yeah, so usually we have those crashes because we're overstimulated, right? Maybe drinking too much caffeine, and then that creates like that midday crash, and then we have to drink more coffee in order to keep going. The problem with that cycle, and I was in that cycle too, is that you're pushing your body of exhaustion with a stimulant, and then at night you cannot sleep. Right. And you don't sleep at night. And then in the morning, you feel terrible. And then you're crashing in the day. And then you continue with that cycle. So that will be like the first thing to lower caffeine and maybe detox caffeine. Right. And I love coffee. I grew up with coffee. Like, back then, I used to have coffee in a baby bottle. Right now, if I do that, I will be like, oh, call security. This mommy's crazy. Right. But I was talking about like, 46 years ago, right? That's how much coffee I'm from Puerto Rico. So in my culture, we drink a lot of coffee. I love coffee. So I drink decaf, right? We don't have to stop drinking, or, we can always modify. That's what I tell people. It's like, you're going to stop doing things. We're going to modify them and then look for ways that you can continue to enjoy things, but in a better way for your health. So caffeine will be the biggest one. Our energy is also dictated by a circadian rhythm. That's also something that I teach in the 21-day reset. basic stuff, right? Like you are indoors all the time. You are not getting sun exposure. So in the morning, so important as you wake up, if you want to increase your healthy cortisol, go outside, get some sun, take your glasses off, get that light in. So it triggers a healthy cortisol to give you energy through the day. Maybe you're not eating enough protein too, right? You're tired. It's your diet. It's a lot of processed food, sugars that you're eating. So you woke up in the morning, you got coffee and a donut. Hello. Of course, you're going to be tired, right? Because you're not feeding your gut microbiome. So when your gut microbiome eats food, it pretty much does like a fermentation process in the gut, right? And then it produces short chain fatty acids. And one of them, it's butyrate. And butyrate, it's the fuel for your colonocyte, which is the cells in your colon. So that's what we're also seeing. I'm kind of moving a tangent, but this is important. That's what we're seeing a lot of people with colon cancer too. A big rise even in young people because we're not feeding the gut with the good stuff to produce the fuel to be energetic. So if we're eating donuts and coffee, that's usually in corporate America, or not maybe not even having breakfast. A lot of females, they are not eating, right? They're like doing these fasting diets. And that's horrible for the hormone, especially if you have fatigue and adrenal issues and hormone issues and stuff like that, right? Those signals that you're giving to the brain of a starvation, of slowing down your metabolism because the brain's figuring out this poor woman. Poor man, right? She doesn't have food. We need to slow down. She's dying out there, right? Because we have a very primitive brain and survival is always gonna come first. Why people can have babies or feel sexy or having issues with their hormones because they have a lot of high cortisol and the brain is thinking, she's gonna be eaten by a lion. We gotta keep her alive. Send her tons of cortisol, like right now. Right? That's the brain protecting us. So if we're eating, those meals or not eating a lot, feeling with a lot of stress indoors all the time, not respecting our circadian rhythm in the evening, being in the phones, in the computer, right? When you are exposed to light at night, you're telling the brain that it's maybe noon. So at that time, your body raises naturally cortisol to keep you with energy, right? So, of course, you're not going to be able to sleep. So, we got to also do things to lower that blue light, disconnect, do different things. I talk about that in the reset more in depth so people can understand, like, oh, now it makes sense, right? That's why the reset works so quickly because sometimes it's just lifestyle things that you were doing with, the light, with not eating enough foods, not eating eating more of not the good ones and not adding the what you really need. So those could be like the basic ones why we feel so tired, right? High stress, not doing things that we love, a lot of lack of joy. And also now we talk about cortisol having low output, right? Our DHEA is the hormone that gives us energy. And when I test people for their cortisol and DHEA, they have very flat cortisol and they have very low DHEA. What happens in midlife? In midlife and menopause, as we have the dropping hormones, the body then relies on the adrenals to be the suppliers of hormones. And we are pretty depleted because of stress and life and all of that. So most of us, and I was one of them, very depleted adrenally. So when my body needed relied in my adrenals for hormones, they were depleted too. So we're having two systems depleted. Naturally, our estrogen and progesterone is going to decrease in the ovarian function because that's part of aging. It happens to every female. And then we rely on the adrenals. And if the adrenals are tank, it's like where the body's going to get the energy from. Right. And so that's why it's so important. And a lot of females are all putting hormones like estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, but they don't work on the adrenals. So they still lag, right? So the adrenals, it's like the basis of the foundation of your thyroid, of your sex hormones, and even insulin. That's what we can't forget about then. And how do we heal them? Right? It's a process. It can take 6 to 12 months to heal the adrenals, depending on the amount of stress that you have in your life and all of those things. But it can be possible to have more energy. So yeah, so those could be all the main things, of feeling tired in the middle of the day, but those things can be fixed, right? A lot of my ladies, when we start working, they're like, I have one that we started working, and we did a lot of work with her, especially in her gut. And she told me, you know what? I was mad the other day because I wanted to get home and take a nap, but I was not tired. She didn't have anything to do. And I'm like, she's like, oh, I'm just gonna take a nap. And I'm like, she said, but I wasn't tired because and then she realized, wow, I don't need naps anymore. I have energy the
Oh,
whole day.
awesome.
Right?
I love
So
hearing
if
that.
I love hearing those stories. She was mad, but at the same time happy, and we were laughing about it. So it's possible. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm tired because I'm aging. And I'm like, yes, I mean we are gonna age, but that doesn't mean that's the cause why you are tired or depleted or gaining weight or all those things. The beauty that we have now with all the science and the research and the things that have been done is that we can slow down the aging process and feel really good. I feel better than in my 20s. And I started talking about, I'm 46 now and I feel really good. And I thank God every day because I have the energy and I can do things and I can work out. I can be with my kids and I can help my clients. And that's something that we can all have, right? But we have to work with it. There's no magic into it. Sometimes people don't want to put the work. And it's the same work. If you're running a company, you know that you got to get work done. Otherwise, your company tanks. The same thing with your body. We got to take care of our bodies like it's our own company.
That's a great way to phrase it. And yeah, I guess for the listener, just to sum it up, when it comes to that afternoon crash, address your caffeine consumption, get out of that cycle. I often think the first few days are the hardest because your body is going to crave that caffeine. And like you
The
said,
caffeine detox is not fun.
no, it's not. I
I tell
remember
people,
I've.
do it in the weekend. Start on
Yes.
Friday and
Yes.
then sleep the whole. I told them free Saturday and Sunday. Those 2 days, you're gonna sleep the whole day. The whole day, you're gonna crash. You're gonna feel horrible. Sleep. By Monday, you're gonna be fine.
Headaches. I've
Yeah.
done a caffeine detox a while ago also, and I like literally had snot coming out my nose. It was like literally like my body was just like, yeah, detoxing in that sense. But I was so surprised that this is horrible. It's absolutely horrible. But anyways, start there, even if it's terrible. Address your sleeping habits. Make sure you're getting in enough sleep opportunity. Go outside, address that, or help with a good circadian rhythm with the daylight exposure. As you mentioned, like find a good eating pattern that works for you, not eating all the time, because I also see these people that constantly graze and need to have stuff in their
Yeah,
mouth.
that's not
But
good.
then on the other end of the spectrum, where people like, I haven't didn't eat anything until 4 p.m., you're like, ah, no, this is not good, you know? So I think, yeah, finding that right balance there and not having really carb-heavy meals, or just, huge plate of pasta at noon, no wonder you're gonna have a crash at 2 p.m. So finding the right thing and supporting your blood sugar regulation that way also.
Increase protein, have protein in the morning, great breakfast, have energy.
Right.
The same thing at lunch, right? Like you want
Yes.
to keep yourself energetic. And in the lunch break, have lunch outside, right? Weather permitting, right? And if you're in the winter, buy a happy light that you can get it on Amazon and put it in your desk. Turn that happy light on. You get some light exposure mimicking the sun and have your lunch, right? Full of protein, veggies, and all stuff. And you are going to be ready to go.
Yeah, I love it. I love all your practical tips. One other thing I wanted to touch on, because I sometimes hear it not just from the fatigue point of view, but sometimes people say like, oh, no matter what I eat, I feel really bloated afterwards. Or, me in the morning looks normal. Me a few hours later, I look like I'm pregnant. I'm gassy. I don't feel good. What is one thing we can do to reduce bloat, or several things?
Yeah. Well, to reduce the bloat, what I recommend is the approach that I do in the 21 days. It's just eating certain foods that are going to lower the inflammation and also help you digest the meals. So, and if that doesn't work, then as I said, it could be an overgrowth, right? Because a lot of people then they tend to their diet, they lower their inflammation, they are sure they're masticating their food because your gut microbiome starts in your mouth, right? When you start chewing your food, you start triggering stomach acidity and digestive enzymes to start producing. And one of the things people are also very bloated is that we eat very fast. We eat very fast. And then we're swallowing the food, we're not chewing the food, right? Maybe you don't have enough stomach acidity, and then the food gets stuck and they doesn't get digested. A lot of people tell me, I can't eat protein because I get so bloated when I eat, or I feel like it's stuck. And that's, for me, that's a red flag that when they tell me that, I'm like, okay, this person probably doesn't have enough stomach acidity to digest the food, right? And then we got to fix that. So there are supplements that we can do, but then again, the foundational work, because we want to fix the root cause so that we're not dependent in supplements our whole life in order to digest our food, right? So we have to ensure that we are having, we're working on the basics of how we're eating our food, the types of foods that we're eating. Learning, like, some foods are going to cause more bloating than others. And usually when people have bloating, that's a sign of overgrowth, right? That's a sign of, like, this person is having either yeast or a lot of bacteria overgrowth that causes the bloating. And then when you're eating carbs, or things that have a lot of fiber or even fermented foods, it can, like, create more overgrowth, right, in the environment. But it's not that those foods are bad. It's that you're having, we got to rebalance the flora. So yeah, and I see this in a lot of people, even with people in fitness, that they're like, they have amazing bodies, and then you will think that they don't have any issues, but we all have, if we don't heal the gut, right? And then at night, I see those pictures, me in the morning, me at night. And then when I see them, I know, like, okay, she has an overgrowth, right? Because she already nailed down her macros, her protein, her macro, her carbs, her fiber. You know, that person probably has them nailed down. And then they're like, but why I'm still having issues? It's probably an overgrowth,
Yeah,
right?
that's a really good point. I think that it, looking at the food specifically is often very, very helpful in just making sure we have those basics covered. I think there are certain foods that people don't consider enough. I mean, the obvious ones are often gluten and dairy. But then, like you said, for example, especially in the health and fitness space, where if we're on a calorie deficit, we might almost have too many vegetables or raw vegetables to feel full. So I've seen that, like, when people are dieting for, let's say, a stage performance or for a bodybuilding show, they eat bowls and bowls of lettuce and cabbage and whatever to feel full because it's very low calorie foods. And they don't have, number one, obviously, they, since they're on low calories, they don't have the fats to, like, push the food through the pipe, the digestive tract. And number two, it's not balanced out of insoluble and soluble fiber. And then on top of that, they might be chewing a ton of gum. They might be drinking diet soda, all these sorts of things.
Also caffeine too.
Exactly. So we have those artificial sweeteners on top of that. So sometimes even just like stripping it back there and, you know, addressing it with like, can we not consume as many sweeteners and all that? But yeah, you're absolutely right. Often it does still come down to over.
So I talking about vegetables, I recommend people to cook their veggies,
Yes,
right? So maybe
exactly.
steam them, lightly steam, cook them. That help also to digest the vegetables better. And and that's super important when we are eating more veggies, right? And those are signs, right? That's why we start with the basics. But when someone is bloated, we have to also think on the root cause.
Sure.
Maybe you're on oral contraceptives, right?
Yeah,
Maybe
that's
you were just taking a round of antibiotics and that really messed up your flora. Maybe it's like the yeast overgrowth. So it could be, so there's not one thing that will take care of the bloating, because there could be many things causing it. So
absolutely.
we always start with food and our environment. If we're, you know, if we're eating the food too fast, if we're, you know, watching the news, something sad in the phone while we're eating, I tell people, no, you know, you got to, like, disconnect, because digestion happens when we in the parasympathetic nervous system.
Absolutely.
And the problem is that we are in sympathetic all day. Sympathetic state means high cortisol, when our body demands, you know, when we're stressed out. And we are having issues going from one system to the other. And I talk about this also on the in the program, so people understand, like, okay, what do I need to do to relax, to calm myself before I have my meals? And then people are like, well, I discovered that it was stress, me being in the phone and or watching the news or eating very fast, that was causing all my gut issues. That's what we start with, the foundational work, right? Because that can fix it. That could be it. That could be your problem. And it's very, very inexpensive to fix. Right? You don't need a big intervention. You didn't need expensive medications. You didn't need like crazy stuff, right? It's just like behaviors that you're changing and improving. And as we, and then people are like, well, but I didn't have those issues before, and I was doing the same things, and now everything is kind of exploding, right? When we start aging, our needs change.
Yes.
Metabolically, we need more nutrients, we need more protein, we need more fiber. It's like our body needs more in order to replace what is losing. And
Yep.
because we lose mass, we lose muscle, we lose collagen, we lose brain cells, right? We lose everything. So what do we have to do? And this is what I teach people. Just replace it with more, 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 more. And then it's kind of like a lot of work, but it also depends. How do you want to feel?
That's it,
It's
absolutely.
our choice. It's your
Yeah.
choice. How do you want to feel? Do you want to feel like you're like going down, 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 but then just continue doing what you're doing? Right.
Yeah.
But if you want to fix your state, then there's things that we have to do. It's like, when you fix a house, right? You either can live in a nice home or live in a crappy home, but you know you have to, if you clean it, if you organize it, if you, it's going to be nice. So it's the same with us.
Absolutely. There is no solutions, only trade-offs. Whatever we spend the time on, we're going to get the results for it. And I think those are some really great points. I love that you mentioned mindful eating and just slowing things down. That recommendation of like eating outside your lunch, if possible, weather permitting, obviously. But as you said too, it can just be something as simple as taking three deep breaths or making it a like before you eat, or making it a hard and fast rule that you don't eat on the go. That's something like I keep saying this on this podcast, but it's one of my pet peeves. I don't like it. I think like people eating on the go, like literally as they're walking or as they're driving or whatever, that is something I just try to put attention to because we really do not mentally and physiologically recognize or realize that we're eating. So sometimes you're like, oh, I didn't even notice that I just finished my sandwich. Or, like, let alone your body, that satiation is not setting in, as opposed to if you're sitting down, you're putting everything else away. Okay, maybe you're listening to a podcast or whatever, but aside from that, no distractions, and you're just focusing on how does this taste? What is the, texture like of this, and so on. It's a very, very different perception of the exactly same food. But yeah, thank you so much, Rosemary. It's been a
Of course.
pleasure speaking with you. I will, of course, make sure to put all your links in the show notes, the link to your 21-day reset, to your website, to your social media, so people can go and check out all your content. And I just want to thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you so much, Lisa. So great meeting you. And thank you for having me here. And I hope everybody listens and take action.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Rosemary. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow. And remember, if you want help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we'd love to guide you. One more thing before you go. If you're looking for premium supplements, our partner Fat Muscle Project has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more. And feel free to use our code NCL for your chance to win a $250 gift card every month. Thank you for listening.